Lab leaders, picture this. You're steering your team, driving initiatives forward, yet it feels as if you're constantly battling uphill, struggling to garner the backing that's necessary for your success. Does that seem familiar? Are you challenged in getting the support you need from upper leadership? You're not alone. And today, we will tackle the challenge faced by lab leaders everywhere, and that's securing the support we need from upper leadership.
Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host and executive coach, Lona Small. And I help lab leaders and professionals achieve impact and fulfillment in their careers. And I'm so excited about today's episode. And if you haven't listened to Elaborate Topics podcast before, Elaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-host, Tywana Wilson, and Stephanie Whitehead give you tools and tips to help you to excel in your laboratory journey. And I just want to bring to you a survey that I did on LinkedIn. And the question was, as a medical lab leader, what are some challenges that get in the way of you achieving the goals you set for yourself and your team? And there were options like imposter syndrome, no upper level support, too many team conflicts, poor work-life balance. Of course, poor work-life balance won with the highest score, but the runner-up was no upper-level support. So, how do you really get the support from upper leadership for your lab initiatives and projects? We are at the bottom of the totem pole. I used to hear that a lot from lab leaders, lab managers, supervisors, and even some executives in meetings. And that's the response that they would use when we have an initiative that wasn't supportive. That was response that were given to team members when they ask for support on initiatives that we want. And hearing that would usually leave this lump in my throat. And we're at the bottom of the totem pole. I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I knew the gist. Basically, people were saying, forget it. We are not seen as important. Don't expect them to consider us. And that was frustrating for me. And I would quietly wonder, why are we accepting that status quo? And when I went to grad school to pursue my healthcare MBA, many of my classmates were already hospital leaders and executives. And collaborating with these executives, what I witnessed was that genuine enthusiasm for a lab initiative. And that was truly eye-opening for me. We collaborated on many lab projects, and my contribution was welcomed and supported. And during that time, I walked away with some really valuable lessons. So what I noticed from the experience in the lab was that we contributed so much, but others outside the lab failed to really connect our contribution to the bigger picture. I learned that people, they're looking for the value they receive in order to place the value on people, on a group of people. And that's usually, like I say, based on how they perceive value. So if I'm in an interaction, I would place value on that interaction based on what I receive out of that interaction. So that value that we give during these exchange may just be how we make other people feel. And I learned that value was determined by the person receiving the contribution. So sometimes we may give so much and the person receiving what we give may not perceive it as valuable. And although we know that what we are contributing is valuable. And that was an eye-opening. And it's not always what you know, but how you make others feel. So do you get that chance to make that valuable connection when you're contributing? Even though you're contributing so much, are you making that valuable connection with the person that's receiving the value that you give? So that's my aha, was we give so much, we contribute so much, and yet a lot of people are not making that connection to the contribution that we're giving to that bigger picture. So what I unearthed was this fundamental truth that value is subjective. It's not solely about what you know, it's about how you make others feel. And today I'm very passionate about imparting this wisdom to lab executives that's striving to leave their mark. So when we contribute to positive outcomes in a collaborative environment, we demonstrate value, we gain influence, and we make an impact. So let's unpack that five crucial steps to secure upper leadership support for your lab initiative. So the first step is to know your why. Why is your initiative important for your team and for your lab? Whether it's tackling labeling issues to streamlining processes or nurturing psychological safety for your team through training of leaders, it's so important to be clear about the purpose of why you're doing that initiative. So the labeling issue could reduce the tech time trying to fix the label, trying to do all the rework. And with our limited staffing, that's important because that leads to increased turnaround time with testing. And with labeling that we know that it could be an issue that results in instrument downtime and more delays. So your why could be reducing stress and frustration for your team and improve turnaround time. That's your why. Another thing, we don't talk a lot about all the work that our phlebotomists do, especially with the encounter that they have to have with patient care and with the rest of the care team. So with phlebotomy not having standardized notification whenever there's a limb that they should not draw from, restricted limb, that could lead to the phlebotomist sticking patients in areas that are not safe. So the why for standardizing notification would be we don't want our phlebotomists to get in trouble, sicking patients in areas that are not safe. Another thing is training for leaders in psychological safety. When we talk about psychological safety, you want people to feel safe coming to work, feel safe speaking up, feel safe being themselves. And so that's important. So creating training for leaders in psychological safety will help our team look forward to coming to work, will help our team when it comes to improving retention. So training in psychological safety and just culture would be really important, but it's important to know your why. That why is really for your team to feel safe, to improve retention, and also to equip your leaders. Because a lot of times we do and say things not because we want to be mean, but we were never trained the best way to create that safe space for our team. So knowing your why is important. The next thing is, what's in it for them? So now that your why, the next important thing is to understand what's in it for upper leadership and for your organization, being your audience. You want to know, how does your initiative benefit them? Say, from reducing turnaround time to enhancing patient safety. When it comes to standardized notification, you need to articulate the tangible advantages in the language they understand. And we'll talk more about the language. So for proper labeling and reducing turnaround time, because time is money, if you're talking to the C-suite, what's in it for them is reducing cost. For those standardized signage and notification, that will prevent harm to patient in our health system, which, of course, that's important to any organization when it comes to preventing patient harm. For psychological safety training, will, of course, they care about retention also, improving retention, because that's savings and that's a good reputation. Improving health and wellness of the workers and reducing conflict among team. So first, your why, what's important to you? And then number two is, what's in it for them? What is it that's important to your organization and your C-suite? Number three now is to communicate the value of the initiative. So you want to tailor your message to resonate with your audience. And it could be somebody, when we talk about the C-suite, is it the CEO? Is it the CFO when it comes to finance? Who is it in the C-suite or in the medical aspect of it when it comes to the medical directors and so on? So it depends on your audience, the way you communicate the value of your initiative. One thing that I've learned is that timing is of the essence. Whether it's really highlighting cost saving or you're bolstering the organization's reputation, you want to speak the language and you want to exude positivity. So with timing, is there a big hype with regards to the benefit of your initiative? When it comes to patient injuries, is there a big hype on zero patient injuries? Is that a big hype there? Central line associated bloodstream infection is a big hype in my organization. And we wanted to reduce the amount of IV contaminated specimen that was coming to the lab. So we had some conversation with nursing, and we were looking at a different initiative at the time. We were looking at IV pause. And while we were having that conversation, the timing was right for central line associated bloodstream infection. Because once they understood our process and they realized that every time we cancel a specimen that's IV contaminated and they have to go back in a central line for patients who have central line to recollect every time they break the line, there is a chance of central line associated bloodstream infection. So that was such a great timing. They wanted to support the initiative. They wanted to get data from the lab to see the frequency of cancellation due to IV contamination. They want to look at collectors. They want to drill down because they did not want to be recollecting from patient with central line to increase central line associated bloodstream infection. So many times the timing is right. A lot of times you can do your research, see what's going on, what's the big hype. Sometimes you'll never know. Sometimes it may happen like this. So will this improve the reputation, like the psychological safety? Reputation may be a big deal when it comes to bullying. In my organization, no bullying is a major deal. There's a lot of newspaper article with different events of bullying. So when it comes to psychological safety, that's important to the organization. That's important to the reputation of the organization. So your team is benefiting from being in an environment where they feel safe, where they feel safe to report, where they feel safe to be themselves. There's less stress, there's improved wellness, and then the organization is benefiting from that reputation where they're not tolerating bullying leadership, and they're also benefiting from improved retention. So it's so important to communicate the value. So even though what's in it for them, when it comes to communicating, you're communicating using the language and the value that they're looking for when it comes to those initiatives. For medical teams, if you're talking to medical teams, when it comes to reducing patient safety incidents, it's so important to talk about those patient safety incidents because a lot of hospitals are graded by the amount of these incidents, and the reputation is important again when it comes to these. So speaking the language is important. Be positive, be excited about your initiative because you're clear on your why and you know how it will serve your institution, what's in it for them. So you're designing your communication around that benefit for them. And that's number three, communicate the value of the initiative. Number four, have stakeholder representative as champions on the project. So you want to engage all the relevant stakeholders. And stakeholders are just anyone that may be affected by that initiative, not just the lab. Look broad and wide. The unit, the nurses, especially the C-suite, people who will benefit or people who are affected by that initiative. And you want to empower them to champion the initiative because it's going to benefit them. So they're championing these initiatives within their respective teams. And remember, people support what they create. So have stakeholder representatives as champions on your project. And number five, present the results to upper leadership. So show, don't just tell. So you want to back whatever those claims that you have with data. You want to be showcasing the impact of your initiative from cost saving to improve patient safety satisfaction. You want to let the numbers speak volume. So we talk about show data before and after the implementation. You want to show that the goal of the upper leadership is met, and this will put you in the runnings for more initiatives. So there you have it. So you want to unlock those upper leadership support by using these five strategic steps. So I'm just going to quickly go over these steps. So the first thing is know your why. The second one is what's in it for them. The third one is communicate the value of your initiative. And the fourth one is have stakeholder representatives as champions on the project. And then the last one is present results to upper leadership. And what I've actually found was one of the most common pitfall that I see with these projects is that one person from the lab will have this as a baby project, and they'll do all the planning, they'll do all the ideas for implementation. And even though there are others on the team, when it's time for implementation, they don't get the support that they want. And a lot of times there's a lot of frustration there when they don't get their support. So what I would say as a way to overcome that pitfall is resist the temptation of that solitary planning. You want to involve stakeholders from the outset. You want to make sure that they're involved in everything, and then you'll see your initiatives soar to new heights. So again, people support what they create. Now I understand this might seem a little bit daunting, especially if you have never approached upper leadership for support. So the first thing I would do after listening to these five steps is to start small by supporting small initiatives from upper leadership. So you want to build some trust, so when the time comes, they'll be more receptive to your initiatives. So you get used to seeing what are important to them. You're building these relationships and trust, so they know that you're an ally. So when you need support, it would be easy to first know what are important to them. You're familiar with how to communicate the value of their initiatives. So this was such a pleasure sharing with you on this episode of Elaborate Topics Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, you can listen to this and other episode on directimpactbroadcasting.com and your favorite podcast platform or Labvine. So you can register on Labvine on labvinelearning.com for free, and you'll get access to our podcast and other resources. I want you to join us on LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn group, and we can share your thoughts on this episode. And also, you can email us to suggest some topics that you'd be interested in. And you can be a guest on the show if you have some expertise to share. Also, if you want to learn more about this topic or you want to get support from me, you can send me an email at lonasmall@lonasmall.com, or just connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me on Lona Gordon Small. If you want to learn more about how you can achieve both impact and fulfillment in your career. So until we chat again, have a great
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics.